Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Today's program is brought to you by the Dairy Farm Families of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Did you know that today Wisconsin produces more than 600 varieties, types, and styles of American, international style, and original cheese that win more awards than any other state or country? To learn more, visit eatwisconsincheese.com.
My name is Hannah Forden. I'm the membership coordinator at Heritage Radio Network, but even before I joined the team, I loved listening to HRN during my subway commute. It made the time go quickly and left me feeling inspired for the day ahead. HRN listeners tune in from all over the world, but there are a few traits that we all have in common, no matter where we listen from: a curious palate, the fierceness to make a difference, and a hunger for lifelong learning about the culinary world. As you know, Heritage Radio Network is a listener-supported nonprofit. To deliver the most ambitious, entertaining, and of-the-moment stories in 2018, we need your help. We need to raise $150,000 by December 31st to accomplish these goals and to keep your favorite shows on the air. Together, we can make this HRN's most exciting, impactful, and delicious year yet. No matter how much you choose to give, you'll feel awesome next time you tune in, knowing that we wouldn't be here without you. Become a member by donating today. Join us at heritageradionetwork.org/donate, and you'll immediately start enjoying benefits such as VIP invitations to HRN events, where you will mix and mingle with your favorite hosts. Plus, we have great member swag. Show off your HRN pride with a t-shirt, or keep your hands safe in the kitchen with an HRN potholder. Memberships also make a perfect holiday gift for all the foodies in your life. This year, why not give the gift of food radio? You'll hear your generosity in action for the year to come. Help keep our lights on and our mics hot by pledging your support today at heritageradionetwork.org/donate. Thanks for listening.
Hello, this is Diane Stemple on Cutting the Curd on Heritage Radio Network. First, I want to tell our listeners we are having a new fundraiser this year, Monday, December 4th, almost right at Cutting the Curd time, just a little bit after. I think it starts at 6. It's at the Brooklyn Botanical Garden, and it's featuring fare from some of New York City's best chefs, and of course, wine, beer, and cocktails. So I implore you to come join us. It'll be a great night and a great party. Anyway, today I'm doing something a little bit different. I've got on Kate Leader. Welcome, Kate.
Hi, Diane.
From Aperitivo in Grand Rapids. Am I saying the name of your restaurant right?
It's Aperitivo.
Aperitivo. And Emily Lind from Brooklyn's own somewhat new cheese restaurant, Denizen.
Hello.
Great. Welcome, ladies. So my first question for you both, Kate, you want to go first, perhaps. How did you both come to cheese?
Oh, well, I did not grow up liking cheese.
Oh!
I didn't eat cheese for a really long time.
Alert the media.
There's still certain things that I don't want. I don't want cheese on a burger.
Ah.
Very rarely do I want cheese on a sandwich.
Interesting.
Because I really want to just eat cheese.
Oh, okay.
You know what? But it really kind of began when I was working in a kitchen in Chicago. I was working for Chef Carrie Nahabedian at Naha, and she really started to introduce me to a lot of the classics, and especially the French classics. She has great friends who would bring her wheels of Vacheron Mont d'Or back from Paris. Mm-hmm. And so that was really my introduction. I really started high. So that was fantastic, and it just kind of grew from there.
Mm-hmm. And how long ago was that?
How long ago was that?
Yeah.
That was early 2000.
Okay, so before American cheeses peaked.
I would say yes.
Yeah. Okay, Emily, how did you get to cheese?
Well, I always had like a savory, I'm not a sweet tooth kind of person. Mm-hmm. So going out to dinner, I would always opt for cheese plates for dessert.
Mm-hmm.
Worked in fine dining restaurants for a long time and really always enjoyed selling cheeses.
Mm-hmm.
When I finally moved to New York City a little over 6 years ago, I started working at the Modern, classic French restaurant at the time.
An excellent cheese program.
Yeah, beautiful cart that we would wheel around the dining room, and I expressed interest and quickly started
being in charge of the cheese cart.
Being in charge, selecting the cheeses, doing
staff education.
Yeah, oh, it was great. It was.
Have you been to that restaurant, Kate?
No, but I'm just jealous. It sounds amazing.
It's beautiful. And then from the Modern, I went to Casa Lula, which is
all cheese.
Super amazing cheese bar. Yeah, with over 40 selections, and worked there for 3 years, running the cheese program there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the opportunity arose to open my own place.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of continued on. I definitely don't have nearly 40 cheeses like Casa Lula does, but much more manageable selection from like 8 to 12.
Okay.
And that rotates. So it's good. Yeah, I've always loved cheese. And
So,
yeah, it's a dream come true just to be able to make it my career.
Now, Kate, your restaurant is also mostly cheese, correct?
It is.
Yeah.
So we're, a wine and beer and cider bar, we also have a cheese shop as well.
Mm-hmm. Is it in the same space or are they adjoining?
Yes, they are in the same space.
Mm-hmm. And what, were you there from the start?
Oh, yes, I'm one of the owners.
Okay, and what made you decide to do both a cheese counter and a restaurant and the whole thing?
I think the bar was more of a afterthought, but it seemed, as soon as we considered it, then it became a definite for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But we really, it helps us. We're in a open market kind of situation. So it's really nice for people to be able to sit and relax and enjoy, not just for us to, sample cheeses, taste cheeses with people, and then hope that they have a great experience with them later. It's wonderful for us to be able to help explain as they are eating.
Enjoying.
It's a lot of what we do is education.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a huge part of who we are as a business. So
Either informal while they're sitting there, or you have cheese classes too.
We do.
Yeah. Emily, how did you get hooked into Denizen at first?
Well, my husband, now husband, actually, we're newlyweds, was a bartender at the Modern. It's where we met.
Mm-hmm.
One of his regular customers kind of invested in him and his idea. So it was kind of great to do it, not all on our dollar. We looked around for other investors. So that's basically, it was kind of, Liam was just working hard for years trying to find the right place. And in New York, it's very difficult.
Right.
And
is he a chef or is he a
guy? He's a front of the house wine guy.
Okay.
So
you are the chef?
I'm not the chef. I'm the fromager, but I am working in the kitchen now. So line cook, dishwasher, everything you do, ordering. I'm doing it all, cleaning.
Okay. And Kate, what do you do?
I do a little bit of everything also.
That's what
I
figured.
It's one of those where wherever I'm needed is where I am. Okay. A lot of times my favorite thing to do at my job is to either is cutting cheese or I love making plates for people.
Oh, okay. Great. When they tell you what to make or when you're given carte blanche?
Oh, it's always better when I get to pick. But it's, I mean, and usually if people just trust us, I feel like that's really when they get the best
that you have to offer that
offer.
Day.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that,
too. You show a little, have a little faith in me, and I'll really go all out.
Mm-hmm. I think it's true, because you can add a little more variety. Sometimes people, if they just see the list, they don't really know what they're getting. They'll order a lot of similar cheeses.
Right.
But if you can make your own, like you can... You know, divide up the milk types and textures, and so I think it's
right.
Better
or
too.
Even if, or even if someone orders, you know, three like hard cheeses, just even a tiny spoon of a scoop of something soft or something like that, just to get them to try something that it's not really costing that much,
right?
But it's something to offer and to give and to share. That makes a huge difference to our customers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you turn them on to something great.
Exactly.
Now, when you decided, your website says you only do American meat, but you do international and American cheeses. Now, what made you focus on just American meat?
It was really more what I... It was a matter of not wanting to make a decision. I didn't want to decide between prosciutto di Parma or prosciutto di Sardegna, or I didn't want to have to decide. And so,
so you just cut it all out.
I decided to stick with the Eckhouses at La Quercia in Iowa, who make an amazing product. And so we just went with that, and it's been wonderful. That's something that is really... I feel like it's, you know, it's really next, you know, as far as an American, I don't want
food
to say revolution,
group.
But
food
like
group.
A coming of age.
Right. For American meat, cured meats. And just La Quercia?
No. Oh, no.
Oh,
there,
okay.
But there, you know, there are prosciutto.
Okay.
There are prosciutto people. Mm-hmm. But we from all over. So, you know, everything from small producers to larger ones. But it's really fun to be able to carry, to introduce people to things that maybe they haven't had or something where they might be doubtful and be able to offer a taste and have it change their mind.
Mm-hmm. And Emily, what kind of meats do you, also cook?
I do,
right.
Our charcuterie program, all of our meats are coming from Enn's Meat, which is here in Brooklyn, too.
Oh, cool.
So he's curing them himself here.
Okay.
So,
that's
we
nice.
Get them nice local meat program.
Great. Mm-hmm. Well, it's time for our break. We'll be back in a few moments with Cutting the Curd, talking to Kate Leader and Emily Lind from their respective restaurants. Be right back.
Today's program is brought to you by the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Wisconsin produces the world's best cheese, period. Why? Lush grasslands, glacial water supply, fourth generation cheesemakers, combining old world tradition with the new ideas and highest standards. The very best milk. What do you think of when you think of Wisconsin cheese? For me, I think cheese curds. Delicious, fresh cheese curds or deep-fried cheese curds. Cheese curds literally any way, anytime, any place. I think about Andy Hatch and Upland's Cheese Company, the operation behind the Pleasant Ridge Reserve cheese that's literally America's most awarded cheese. I think of the deliciously stinky Limburger and its long-storied history. I think about Raleigh's Dumbarton Blue, a perfect blend of English-style cheddar and notes of blue. I think of Emmy Roth's Grand Cru Sirsois, which was named 2016's World Champion at the World Championship Cheese Contest. Wisconsin is like the world champion of cheese, and once you start reading the list of cheeses made in Wisconsin on their website, you can see why. The Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board is a nonprofit organization funded entirely by Wisconsin's dairy farm families. Read more at eatwisconsincheese.com. And as soon as you're done listening to this podcast, eat Wisconsin cheese. It's a no-brainer.
Leaning for a Frank Jackson before you're 28.
You think that we're back. We're back at Cutting the Curd. Diane Stemple here, talking to Kate Leader from Aperitivo and Emily Lind from Denizen. I feel like I'm talking about the college Denizen. It's Denizen, actually.
Denizen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Different spelling. Right. Anyway, so Kate, I did notice you have a very long list of favorite cheeses on the information I was provided. Now, I thought it was great, very inclusive, many types, but I also saw Basque is your favorite, or?
I'm just a huge fan of the region in general.
Mm-hmm.
My best friend is Basque,
mm-hmm.
and so I've been able to go to visit quite a few times and visit his family.
Oh, that always makes a big difference.
And so that makes all the, it makes all the difference.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I love to go to San Sebastian and it's just, anyone who loves food loves to go to San Sebastian.
Right,
so,
right. And it's gotten more and more food centric as the years go by.
Yes.
Yeah. So which of your favorite cheeses do you get to serve at Aperitivo?
It depends on the, so our menu changes every month,
mm-hmm.
and we offer 8 different cheeses on the menu at a time.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a really big, we have quite a large cheese case,
mm-hmm.
And so we pick from our cheese case what's going to be on the menu for the month. We do 8 cheeses and 6 meats,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll do a crostini and a fancy grilled cheese where we're using whatever whatever we're in the mood for from the case. And so there's usually one of my many favorites makes the menu at least every month.
Okay. And you have a good selection of different types of milk and different types of style.
We try. We try really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it even comes down to a lot of times we'll, especially towards the holiday, we'll make sure that we have one cheese that's on the girole, which is, the cheese curler.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now we have the Tome Brulee on there. Emily, have you had that one?
I have had that one.
Mm.
Yeah,
it's so fun on the girole. It's amazing.
I bet. It's beautiful.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's great. So that's the one that we're doing this month. That's probably my favorite cheese on the menu for this month.
Is it the same size as Tête de Moine?
I think it's a little
tiny
taller.
Bit smaller.
Oh, okay. Well,
a little more cylindrical.
But the same circumference? A similar circumference?
Similar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Similar. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
It's got a torched rind. It's really cool.
Ah. Now, Emily, I don't have a list of your favorite cheeses, but can you tell us
some?
It could
be a long one. Yeah, definitely.
Well, can you tell us some, and which do you like to use for cooking, and which do you like to use just for eating or giving people at the restaurant on a cheese plate?
Well, we just are the beginning of Rush Creek season, which is always very
exciting.
Special. Mm-hmm. So that's one of my favorites. I also am really in love with Portuguese torta style cheeses with the thistle rennet. I love that tanginess and like Zimbro, like that pudding. Like I really love that.
Mm-hmm.
And then as far as the kitchen goes, we really use a lot of the Jasper Hill chef shred, which is totally amazing. That's a really good way to give like high quality cheeses in cooking. So you're not just, you know, buying a lesser price cheese, you know, which quality can be, it can vary. So we use a lot of the chef shred. We make a cheese sauce with it. We put it on our grilled cheese. So that's great for that. We also use a raclette from Springbrook on our grilled cheese, which is a really nice melter. And timber doodle, we're putting on a French onion toast, which is kind of our version of a French onion soup, but flipped upside down. But that like mustiness, and we have put oxtail on a toast and melt timber doodle on top.
I went to your website before and looked at that, and I was like, oh my God, that looks so good.
It's
that's
really
totally
good.
What I would order.
Yeah, right. Super savory.
Right. Mm-hmm. I was attracted by those oxtails too. Whenever I see oxtails, I want to eat them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good. We braise it and, with a little onion, and it's delicious.
That's great. That's great. So I was going to ask you, I think one of you had brought it up already. Do you spend time creating a menu, dealing with problems, cooking? For Kate, do you spend time on the counter? What is your actual job turning out to be?
For me, it is. It's a lot. I do.
I'm sure.
I do a lot of every. I'm sorry. I'm stuttering because I don't know where to begin. Yes, I do. I work cheese counter shifts. I work bar shifts.
Oh, actual shifts even.
What's that?
Actual shifts. You're assigned.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, pardon me. Yes, I do. And I order all the cheese. My partner orders the wine and beer. And so then I order everything else in the shop. It's a little, you know, it's
that's
a little
intense.
Bit of everything, paperwork, the whole. I don't have an office. So I set up at the bar.
Oh, okay.
Until people sit next to me and then I move.
And how about you, Emily? What do you?
Same, I do it all. So I am on the floor a couple nights a week, either behind the bar or waiting tables. All day Saturday, all day Sunday, I'm in the kitchen cooking brunch and dinner.
Okay.
And then midweek, I'm just kind of doing ordering, payroll, just other kinds of admin duties. A little bit of everything. Also, the Saturday and Sunday, I'm washing dishes.
Okay.
You know,
now, how many tables do both of you have? How many seats do you have, Kate?
We have 15 seats at the bar, two high tops, and a communal table that seats 10.
Okay. And how about you, Emily?
We're about a little over 50 seats total. So the bar seats
11. Both fairly small.
Yeah, it's small.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what's the best part of your day or your job for both of you?
For me, I love when I'm surprised by a customer. And when you think, and this is when you're at the counter. Mm-hmm. I guess this could be when I'm behind the bar, too. But it happens more at the counter where you think, oh, you think you know the person. You know, you think you can look at the person and know exactly what they're going to want.
Sort of pigeonhole them.
But then all of a sudden it changes and they become very interested and it becomes a very engaged conversation and you leave kind of invested in hoping that they have a great experience with their cheese later because it was such a surprise.
Yeah, I remember that from being behind the cheese counter. It is, those moments don't happen enough, unfortunately, but they are peak moments.
Yeah, it's totally true. Great answer. It's totally rewarding. And I can totally agree with that. For me, the best part of my day, too, is besides that and making people happy.
Right.
I mean, that's what it's all about.
Right.
And teaching people. But working for myself, I think, because it's new and, you know, I've never been in that kind of position before, but doing the hustle for yourself, you know, and like growing. I think it's empowering, and that's really.
Yeah, it might make the work easier or the exhaustion easier.
The exhaustion definitely easier. Yeah, you know, there's been definitely times.
And I think there's something about it when, you know what, you've got someone, when you're doing the dishes, but everything else is taken care of,
right.
and someone else is doing everything else, I'll gladly do the dish, you know, mm-hmm. Put me on dishes, I'll polish, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to do that. If everyone else is, like, in sync, doing their thing, whatever, I don't want to stop that. I'll do dishes, I'll clear tables. Mm-hmm. And I think that is, it's all about working for yourself mm-hmm. and just mm-hmm. having some, being invested makes a huge difference.
It does. And that probably makes your employees happier with you. That you pitch in, that you do everything.
For sure, yeah. We're not
I hope so.
Yeah, I know. I'm not a great delegator.
Okay, now this is the opposite question. If you could hire an extra person under you, you know, like just your underling to do your least favorite parts, what would they do?
Want to go?
I have to think about this one, Emily.
Okay, I can step in. I think it's like easy answer. It would be like answering emails and like booking events and stuff like that. That's, I think, my
You just my don't like
point.
That.
Well, it's not that I don't like it. I think it's just my weak point. Like, I definitely need to, try to focus on more.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not so great at.
You'd think it would be a sitting down task, so you might like a break.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm sure I could. For sure. But I like being in it. I like getting my hands dirty.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Have you thought of something, Kate?
I would probably agree. Mm. I think that, and then just having someone who would, I've got great people. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got amazing people. But just one more person who would have the answer that I would give so that if I'm not there.
That's an interesting point.
It's an imaginary thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But wouldn't it be great?
Yeah, it's all hypothetical.
Yeah, so you wouldn't have to be, you know, responsible every second.
Right. And And the thing is, nobody does it the way that you do.
Right.
And that's part of the deal. That's why you're the one who's doing it.
Right.
But it's great when that does happen. Mm-hmm. And I always appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Now, another question. How have you seen in two different parts of the country the interest in American cheese change and increase in the past couple years?
I would say it's been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
We opened 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I would say that our customer base has grown with us, but as we get new customers, people who are moving here from other places, there's a lot more awareness of what else is happening in the country. And people ask us for specific cheeses, but why don't you guys have this?
Uh-huh.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then either we get it or we have a reason why we don't have it and it's really fun. I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's great to have an educated
clientele,
regular customer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, do you focus mostly on Midwestern or do you hit both coasts?
I mean, this sounds lofty, but I try to just have the best example of the style
mm-hmm.
and ones that I'm partial to.
Okay. And what about you, Emily? What?
Well, I source a lot of my cheeses from Saxleby's, which has mm-hmm. a mainly American list. And I really love just being able to support mm-hmm. local farmers and cheesemakers. They mm-hmm. work so hard. I think it's great, just the growth of mm-hmm. the American cheese industry. Mm-hmm.
Now, when you were at the Modern, didn't it start out more international?
That was a completely international, and a lot of French cheeses.
Yeah.
We had Humboldt Fog. And
uh-huh,
we had,
right.
know, that was probably
right. one.
Yeah, like one American cheese. But and I'm not really sure what their cheese program looks like now, but...
Yeah, I don't either. Do you know who's in charge of it?
Mm-hmm, a woman named Amy, who is... who I also worked alongside with, too. Mm-hmm. So she's taken over the cheese program there. Mm. But, yeah, I think it's nothing but positive, of course. Mm-hmm. It's definitely amazing.
Now, what do you expect for the holidays? I know, Kate, you have a cheese counter, so that will be, I presume, busy. But are restaurants busy during the holidays? And are you, do you have parties? Do people come, you know, a lot or a little? What? And you don't really know, Emily, because this is their second Christmas, but you had just opened a year ago.
We did, yeah. We opened December 2nd, so we're coming up on our year. So it's, and when we opened, I think most people had their holiday plans.
Right.
But we did get, you know, we started out kind of busy. And but, yeah, now right now we're getting a lot of inquiries for holiday parties. We have a nice little back room that can seat like a little intimate dinner. But yeah, we're busy. It's the season now, right now in New York City. So you know, we're just getting busier and busier, and it's so unpredictable.
Right.
Maybe next year at this time we'll be able to look back and compare.
You'll have a better idea of what to expect.
Right.
What about you, Kate? Do you have do you sell platters and things?
We do. We do our catering. This year, so I guess it took almost 4 years for it to really sink in and click that for cheese platters, because we have just been swamped, which is fantastic. It's overwhelming, but it's fantastic. And so, you know, trying to be busy and also put systems into place can be a challenge. But we are hopefully ready for it this year. And and then our counter's busy. We rent out our space, you know, do buyouts at the bar and things like that. And we just, I just, you know, order as much cheese as I can. And then I hope I sell it all.
Right.
That's everyone's holiday game plan.
Right.
So you increase, because most, do most restaurants assume that they do most of their business, like cheese stores do, in the in this quarter?
I'm
is that to me?
So. I will, for both of us. I mean,
okay.
All I can say is that I hope so.
Right?
Continue to grow.
Definitely our best 2 months.
Okay.
You know, there's just no way around it.
Now, I thought people would be eating at home. No?
Well, that too.
Okay.
I feel like, but everyone comes, you know, comes into town or goes out of town together. And
there's
a reason to go, oh, well, while we're getting this, let's have a glass of wine and eat some cheese. And I am there for them.
What else do they sell? Is it all food in your complex?
It is. It's mostly food, you know, a spice shop, a awesome fishmonger and a butcher, bakery, you know, the kind of the basics, but
fancy basics. And do they have, do other people have places for people to sit and eat?
A few do. We actually, what's really fortunate for a few, you know, for, I don't know, I guess for the customer, is that if someone orders, you know, fish and chips or, you know, king crab legs or something, they can, the fish lads will bring that over to our bar, and so they can sit and have a glass of wine.
Oh, that's
with
nice.
Awesome.
That's fun.
Yeah, it makes it, it offers, it makes what we do seem a lot more broad, even though we're not adding anything to our menu.
Yeah, that's nice. So are you the only one with liquor or alcohol in your building?
We're the only one who doesn't have a full kitchen attached.
Okay.
So we're the ones who let people bring stuff in.
And I think both of you only do beer and wine? Is that? And cider?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that because of liquor licenses are different the next rung up?
We're for right across us, the... Oh, I'm sorry.
And we didn't want the full...
Okay.
The full thing. Yeah. Our space isn't huge, and it wasn't what we wanted our focus to be.
Okay. And how about you, Emily?
For us, we're right across the street from a high school. So we're like, so we weren't able to serve hard alcohol. We probably would have. But it is a different liquor license altogether.
Okay.
As so if it's kind of a blessing in disguise.
Students don't drink beer.
Maybe they do. I'm not sure. I mean, I know these high school students probably do.
But not your place.
Not at our place, no.
Well, I want to thank you both, Emily Lind of Denison on Roebling and 7th in Williamsburg, and Kate Leader from Aperitivo in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Thank you so much for joining me today on Cutting the Curd.
Thank you, Diane.
Thanks, Diane. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it's been wonderful. And listeners, I have to pester you again. Don't forget to order tickets and enjoy our December 4th fundraiser at the Brooklyn Botanical Garden. It's going to be really fun. Be there or be square. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.